This is the Sounding Board Podcast with Hutchie and Damo. Thanks to Drinkwise. If you're choosing to have a drink, choose to Drinkwise.
Nice to have your company on the Sounding Board for Drinkwise. If you're choosing to drink, choose to Drinkwise. Series 9, Episode 7. It's a Tuesday morning of this particular week. Craig Hutchison, Damien Barrett with you again in the South Bank Studios. And Hutchie, off the top today, I want to talk about unmitigated messes, slow car crashes as we watch them unfold. I'm referring, of course, to the 2032 Brisbane Olympic Games.
What on earth has happened,
mess.
Damo? What on earth has happened?
I want you to take it apart.
Have we had a plan at any stage?
Clearly not.
How do we go and bid for an Olympics, a fortune, win over the global officials,
celebrate it, pat ourselves on the back,
and have no plan?
No plan.
So the latest, the Premier now has rejected the recommendations put forward.
So again, let's just do it bit by bit and working backwards maybe just to timeline it.
Gabba's been scrapped.
Well, Gabba was going to be the showpiece of it, and I would imagine rightly so given its iconic historical status in that particular city. Then you form a subcommittee to then investigate that. So you pay money to a bunch of people who then are empowered to find out and wade through what's the next best option. They come up with a recommendation, and then the Premier makes a captain's call anyway and says, no, we're going to use that stadium that we once used for the 1982 Commonwealth Games opening, but which basically has barely been or not effectively used since.
Yep.
Am I wrong in any of this at this stage?
He's blinked at the perception of public backlash over the investment. And what that's like, we're in this horrible spot in this country where being re-elected is more important than doing what you think is right. And so, but no one wants to stare down the public and say, we're doing it and this is why. And that's the vacuum we're in. It's unthinkable. The Gabba has gone from being a potential pride piece for 100 years that can stimulate the Queensland economy to VFL Park in a day.
Yeah.
Like you've now got only 48 hours ago I was reading Greg Swan, the CEO of the Lions, say, we're excited about going to Olympic Park, Victoria Park, sorry, and that'll be this $3.4 billion project will be awesome for the Lions.
But where do they go from wanting to spend $3.2 billion on the Gabba redevelopment to then out of nowhere finding another space and spending more? And then that having that rejected anyway to go back to the stadium that's been, I won't say derelict because it has been used, but it hasn't been used the way it was meant to be used after, which is a long time ago now, Hutchie, back in the 80s.
This is how I look at Brisbane. Brisbane is one of the most livable emerging cities in the world right now.
And I can vouch for that. Yeah. I lived there in the late 90s and it's improved from what I can gather every time I go back there. And it was great in the 90s anyway.
I spent quite a bit of time there, as you know.
Yeah.
I've got SENQ there in Fortitude Valley, in McLaughlin Street, and it is buzzing. The opportunity in Queensland right now has never been greater. The migration of population's been huge. The climate's awesome. The business community's rallying. What are they doing? This is if you're not going to do it for an Olympic Games, when are you ever going to do it? And yeah, there'll be backlash. There's backlash on everything in life. There'll be backlash from people saying it's a lot of money on sport and one project.
Health is always an argument. And I get it. I get it. It is obscene in some people's eyes to spend, if you're going to mention $3.2 billion, add a couple of hundred millions of dollars to that. No project ever comes in that cost.
It's not dead money. It's active money.
You've always been big on that.
It's generating
the perception of it's going to sport and it's not going to hospitals. It's not going to welfare. And you know that. That's the argument. And that's what the politicians work backwards from.
It generates a whole ecosystem of stimulus, of construction, of new taxpayer dollars, of potential population migration, a whole bunch of things that stimulate people paying anywhere up to from 15 to 48 cents of the dollar in tax, which can be then redeployed into meaningful ways in health and education and other things. They're not mutually exclusive. You can build a billion-dollar stadium and still stimulate your economy at the same time. And it's if you're not going to do it for an Olympics, when does a Gabba ever get done?
Oh, it won't now.
Like, it's tired.
It's very tired. It wasn't... ever really, I think, lifted into the modern ways of stadium, even when they did do it in the late 90s.
When are we going to get a politician in this country that says, look, this is not popular, but we're doing this, and here's why?
Well, the politicians don't act that way anymore.
Now, I know...
They used to.
I know that there's, on the other end of the scale, particularly here in Victoria, some severe cost challenges and So a severely dented
economy. Don't get me started on this state.
But surely Queensland,
speaking of unmitigated messes,
of all places, could capitalise on a once-in-a-lifetime moment for them.
And then you've got other issue, Hutchie, too, Hutchie. So you've got...
If the stadium doesn't get built in Tassie, like, honest to God, how would you not build that demo? You've got $375 million of federal government money coming into the state. Surely that gets worked out.
We'll get to the Tassie Devils in a moment, because that was a massive news. So you've got Paris Olympics this year,
yep.
2024. You've then got LA Olympics 2028. And then you've got the Backwater Olympics of 32 in Australia.
We better get our skates on. It's looming.
Well, it's already, yeah. We've missed the boat on it.
Yeah.
In some respects, I mean, to put on an event, the magnitude of the... And again, none of this has been forced upon Queensland. They sought to knock off all competitors for it.
Yep.
Put a number down.
Gone and bid.
That bid got accepted. And now they're the bunch of amateurs that they probably always were, can't handle it.
So the bid for the games, that check leaves the country. The stuff you spend...
So that's gone already.
The stuff, well, that gets paid globally. The stuff you spend on the games stays locally.
So are we got another Victorian Commonwealth Games fiasco about to unfold here? And I don't think I'm too dramatic in posing that, am I?
I hope not.
Hutchie, we're not that far away. If this doesn't get resolved, I would say in the next 3 to 6 months at the outside, they're not going to have a chance of getting themselves ready for something that happens in 8 years' time.
It's frustrating, isn't it? It's frustrating.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Okay, well, let's move on from that. And let's go to the Tassie Devils. Officially, Monday night of this week, announced the AFL. I love the strategy around it. And that's what we do on this show. We don't necessarily talk about what's in front of us. We go behind the scenes. Let's go behind the scenes on this. There's a state election in Tasmania on Saturday coming up. Now, I think there would have been some consideration given to, let's see how the election plays out and then launch this club officially. I love the boldness of, no. Let's do it on the Monday of the week in which the election is on the Saturday, knowing there could be an outcome at that election that places pressure, again, from a perception sense, on the entire project. Because there's one party down there that doesn't really want this, and that's in opposition, and there's one that does, and that's in government at the moment. Who knows how it looks after Saturday?
Well, the opposition want it, but they're saying they'll renegotiate the deal.
It's conditional, isn't
it? They've had to try and find a spot in the room that suited their narrative because they were left with nowhere to go.
They don't want to say no, it's not coming in, but they don't want to say yes, it's coming in the way it's been presented.
I personally think that there was a wrong move to go last night. I think waiting a week or two was better and fairer and give more clarity. I think there's a perception that the AFL... The broad perception is the AFL wanted it done last night. I don't think that's true.
It was their show.
Yeah, well, it was their show. It was an exclusively curated AFL.com event, which I'll come back to, and you were on, and I thought was a little bit curious as well.
Let's go to there now.
We'll get to that. I don't think the AFL led the decision when to go, even though they're in the club. I think the Tasmanian board, led by Grant, decided that
is an AFL body. Let's not be placing ethics on it.
I think they had...
It's an AFL body.
The AFL had the ability to stop it.
Correct. Let's not get too...
I think there was debate, and they went, okay, you want to go? The Premier didn't want them to go.
Premier didn't.
I don't think it's...
I'm not aware of that. But
yeah, the Premier wrote to the club saying, please don't, and they went anyway. So the interesting thing about this is it does put more pressure on the AFL. So they've taken, 40,000 to 60,000 members in the first day.
Yeah.
$10
first
each.
12 hours.
$10 each. The AFL is clear that this is only going ahead
with the stadium.
And they will not buckle from that
position. And I think when we talk about strategy...
I don't think anyone's listening properly to that message.
Oh, they have to be, Hutchie. It's unambiguous.
Because if...
Who's not listening to it?
You're down a situation
where... Or the opposition down there.
If it doesn't go ahead, you've got 40, 50, 60,000 members. We're going to blame the AFL. You said it was coming. Or no,
I don't. I don't think. Yeah. I'm not naturally defensive of the AFL. You know I'm not. I bag them regularly. But you couldn't argue what they've put out publicly on this. From day one, there's no team if there's no stadium. And that they have been clear on that.
Yep.
That's as clear as they've been on any topic that I know of. Often they love the wiggle room in their topics, like they do with certain rules, but not this. I don't think this comes back on the AFL. This comes back on the state of Tasmania to sort itself out.
You were co-host of the AFL.com exclusive event last night.
Tasmania Revealed.
Yep. So you're a bit complicit in the whole kind of PR. I didn't realise you'd turn into a PR kind of lead.
Oh, here we go.
You were like a hired goon last night to sit there and go, not long, yeah, it's just going to be great for footy.
I got caught up in it. I loved it.
Of course you did.
I loved it.
Yeah. So were you in a position there where you couldn't maintain your independence? You couldn't sit on the panel and say,
"Not at all.
I'm a bit of a cynic on this program, and here's why." You had to actually sit there and go,
"Not at all.
This is a wonderful night for football."
I actually referred off the top to the challenges that face this situation, which we've just mentioned. The election on Saturday is a huge one. Equally, as much as I like how the stadium looks on an architectural design, and I'm excited about that stadium, knowing where it's going to be positioned in Hobart, but there's no guarantee that happens under that
no stadium,
design.
No team.
Well, I know that.
Yep.
Yeah.
So anyway, I was watching you last night. And
oh, you're watching
AFL.com.
Well, you went home. No, yeah. Well, you were doing your own show, weren't you? So what? Before you went on air, you were watching the AFL coverage.
Well, I had a bit of a look at it during the footy classified
right, okay.
Production meeting.
Yeah.
Because the pictures weren't. We ended up getting the audio, but the pictures weren't widely available because it was an AFL.com exclusive.
Well,
how can you be doing exclusive on your own club? How does that work?
Well, there was every news.
Sure, the pictures would have been made available for everybody.
Every news outlet was down there.
I think coverage was fine, but I don't think the actual long form was as readily available as it should have been.
Well, in all honesty, Hutchie, who wants people whose identities aren't known to people in the long form presentation in media anyway, on a news bulletin?
I thought it was a really significant night for footy. And
it was.
In everyone's interest to make it as widely available as
what
possible.
I did like is the adherence to history. And then there's no state, really, when it's all said and done, with more history with Australian football than Tassie.
That's true.
Yeah.
And a lot of those legends got a good run last night. Hey, this made me laugh.
Yep.
The Herald Sun's top 50 most influential figures.
Did they, I'm aware of what went on during the week, but
yep.
Did they just use Ashley Brown? Did they just cut and paste Ashley Brown?
I misread it because I thought it said the top 50 most influential figures at the Herald Sun. Had it back to front. So
who put it together?
So a couple of things that I enjoyed.
Who put it together?
Sam Landsberger did.
Yep. Without fear or favour, went through the...
In his first attempt,
his first
attempt, he had 9 ex-Bulldogs officials in, but unfortunately they were edited out, according to a couple of the medicos. So the top 50 most influential figures in footy. So yeah.
Where were you, Hutchie?
Nowhere, which is where I should be. I've told this many times. I don't actually have much to do with the game.
But on Ashley Brown's one, and you employ Ashley Brown, you're about number 2.
I think he puts me in reluctantly in the 20s.
In the dumping ground.
I think I'm in the dumping ground space of I don't upset the perceived.
Right. Where was Caro then?
That's the one I wanted to talk to. So
where's Caro? Where was Caro in it?
If you could mount an argument for me, how Caroline Wilson is not in the top 10 most influential figures in footy, let alone 50.
Let's go with 50 because we're working on a 50. She, where was she? She must have been there somewhere.
Didn't list. Just the gritted teeth. Even last year through gritted teeth, I think they put Caro in.
Right.
Surely. I know you were never going to be there because of your long-held criticism. How many news limited figures of the 50?
Oh, Hutchie, do you think I'd give a care for what was on that list?
Well, I only know because you told me.
I only know it's on our list today.
Yep. So this is what I was laughing at. When you do it, so Ashley Brown, the AFL record's done this.
Did
forever.
You actually go through it?
I loved it. I laughed my head off.
How many news limited people were in there, really? I've joked there were 27, but how many were there?
No, I think
there were 19, weren't there?
Roughly, I think, yeah. What I enjoy the story behind the stories, you know.
So take them through. Morning prayers.
So Ashley does his, and that's been on the AFL record for years. It's been their thing long before we came along.
It's not Ashley's idea either. No. I think my memory of it, you know, when the Sunday papers came in, there was both a Sunday Age, Sunday Herald, and a Sunday Sun in the very first launch of the, I reckon my memory of it is one of those Sunday papers, it might have been the Sunday Herald, it might have been the Age, it might have been the Sun, That's my memory of it. Now, I could be wrong on that, but that's when I reckon it started. I'm talking 1989, and I reckon they would have stolen it from a US idea out of Sports Illustrated.
Here are the complexities, right? Because it gets political in the morning prayers in the newsrooms.
Yep.
You've got to get everyone not blowing up about the result.
Yep.
So you've got to land the AFL CEO at 1 because no one can touch that solution.
You got the AFL CEO at 1, have you? Is that what happened?
Unlike the
where was the chair then? He would be
high. Yeah. Unlike the AFL record, you've got the added complexity. You've got to get the news execs away in a manner that doesn't offend them against each other, and that the editor's comfortable with because he wears the backlash.
This is the bit I'm interested.
So you've got to get the editor on board. So
we should call it up. I refuse to click on it.
I wrote down the key execs: Michael Miller at 4. CEO News.
I thought he was fighting Facebook.
Siobhan McKenna at 8, who was the deal maker on the broadcast deal, and Patrick Delaney at 9.
Patrick Delaney at 9?
Yep. A bit low at 9, I think. But what I would say overall is, well done. Get 3 in the top 10, You get away with that.
Was Tom Saylor on?
Then you got to work through your Robbos and your Warners, and how do they not get offended with each other, and you know who gets left out. And so I thought he did handle that as best he could.
Did he put himself in, Landsberger?
Well, then the other thing is, then you've got everyone's sources, right? So the people or execs that talk readily to you, I'm not saying they leak, but they got friendly relationships with the newspaper.
Yeah.
So the 30s to the 50s were the dumping ground for sources.
Well, name names now, please.
Between the 30s and 50s, people that have been nice.
Well, hang on. Jeff Brown?
No, people that have been quotable, good to deal with. Like Peter Jess made it, for instance. He had to get in because,
he's been in the running for the Alf Brown this year. He's in the running for the Quill and the
Walkley. He leads away.
Yep.
And then if you're going to upset someone, you're just going to run the risk on a couple internally. But I thought, given how... And how many times did it come back? He post morning prayers going, here's my list. Oh, I just have to run that past Miller.
Morning prayers being the daily meeting at the Herald Sun, which is often referred to as morning prayers.
Oh, do you think he might be a bit low there on Robbo, but go and see if he's okay with it. That all goes on. And then
no matter where he was, he would have blown up.
The editor comes back.
Robbo would have blown up.
Sam, I've had a look at it. I've spoken to a few people. On Mahogany Row. Remember,
I see you say this
Mahogany Row. Remember that? The Herald Sun execs used to be called Mahogany Row. Spoke to a few people on Mahogany Row. And
that was in the old building.
We're thinking, if you just could ease old mate up about five spots, it'd be like, how many drafts came back, do you reckon, before they all landed on the spot? How many drafts do you reckon?
Well, who would have a final sign off on it then?
I think.
Let's cut to the chase.
Editor, I think. Yeah. The editor.
Sam Ware.
Yep.
He's got final sign off on the Sam Landsberger Top 50 News Limited offering.
I say that with. As a compliment, because if I was that role, I'd want the final sign off too, because you do get the phone calls.
Hang on, so do you have a sign off on Ashley Brown's?
No,
that's what you've just said.
I actually
you employ Ashley
read
Brown.
It for the first time it was published.
Oh, please.
But if I was at the Herald Sun, where I'm spending hundreds of millions on a broadcast rights deal.
If Ashley puts 10 hours into that project, and I'm just pulled that number out of nowhere, he would put 9 hours, 48 minutes working out what number to put you on.
No.
He would. The rest will be done in 12. Hutchie, you could put a list together in 12. I don't mean to downplay those lists, but they're all subjective. They're all political. And there's games played. You and I could do a list in 12 minutes right now.
We shouldn't we? The top 50 people to miss. But what I would say to Sam is that's a hard thing to take on.
Oh yeah,
you got away with it without offending any of the execs. Well done. That's a good effort.
Does anyone read it?
It's a really good. Yeah, they work really well.
Yeah.
One of the things that they do run, what they do though, is they let the readers have their say, and the readers overpunish the paper.
Don't tell me you're reading readers' comments.
They do. The readers re-rank them.
I've never read a readers' comment. Yeah. What happened in the readers' comments?
Well, they always re-rank.
How much time do you have? I thought you ran about 15 businesses, and yet you come to this show every week armed with stuff I'm not even aware of.
I consume a lot of media.
You do?
Yep.
Do you sleep? I know you don't normally sleep, but do you actually sleep these days?
Not a lot. No. Did Aaron Rodgers nearly get on the presidential ballot, by the way?
What happened?
What about that? Did Robert F. Kennedy did he run second?
He named him as a running mate, didn't he?
No, he was being considered for, as a
running mate. Okay. And then the same way Aaron Rodgers said the New York Jets need to just focus on sport. The day before, he was nearly named as a running mate in a presidential.
Would he be able to do that in play as well?
Well, he's always done. He's always done his own thing.
Oh, my goodness.
I used to not like Aaron Rodgers, but I've embraced him and everything about him now. Just because I don't think he gives one iota of care what people think of him. And I actually think that's the greatest quality one can have.
Hey, Zipper, I don't know if you had this on file. It's been a while since we've used it. But have you got the glass jaw by any chance that you can give
us? Have you got one, have you?
You got a glass jaw you can give us a bit of a go? Here we go. Someone's had a go at us. This can't happen. Someone outside the tent's bagging us. This is not acceptable. Nothing new about this, but needs to be reminded. Chris Fagan, glass jaw of the week. Chris Fagan took... Lachie Neal was honest. He talked about their struggles in round one. I've got two glass jaws too. And Fagan in round one, Lachie Neal was honest. And he came out, Lachie Neal, and said, oh, you know, we didn't work hard enough, we're selfish in these areas. And he was, in my perception... was widely well received by the media, who said, good on you for being a leader and calling out things at work.
That was my take on it too.
I didn't see anyone.
I admired Lachie for saying it. I haven't always admired Lachie with what he says, but I thought it was great what he said after opening round.
And then Chris Fagan had this to say.
He didn't say it. He talked about what we talked about. And if you listen closely to the interview, that's what you'll hear. We watched the vision and we identified the things that we didn't like, the behaviours that we didn't like, the efforts that we didn't like. And all Lockie did the other day was report that back. He wasn't giving his opinion. And I'm talking to all of you here and everyone else that's in the media. You want me and my players to be honest and talk about interesting things. But when we do, it seems like we make up a story that's a bit bigger than what it actually is. You don't like it when we give robot answers, but that's why we give robot answers, because sometimes people write stories that aren't completely true.
Now, he's taken offence at the headlines created.
Is this the straw man argument?
He's taken offence at that Lockie didn't actually say that. And he also accused us of being outraged. The only one outraged is you. The media embraced it. That's a robotic response from Chris, who's normally very good on the media side, by the way.
You covered this on Footy Classified, I think, last night. I say that because I'm only catching up with your show online this morning, and I reckon I saw a clip that I didn't click on it. What I will say about Chris Fagan, Hutchie, he will double down on defence of his own. And I've got into arguments with Chris on other matters relating to this type of attitude that he takes to his own team. So
you think it's a straw man, as in you're inventing an enemy that doesn't exist?
Oh, well, again, without seeing what it is that you said about him, I'm aware that he blew up about the coverage on it. I didn't actually go into the specifics because I'd moved on, I think, like the rest of the competition. But if he is saying the media took out of context, and again, I'm probably getting into a space because I haven't seen it, but what I will know about Chris Fagan, I'm not defending him, he will do what he thinks is right publicly to defend his people and his club.
Yep. Yeah. Can I just have to give another take as we move onto the media wars too?
Glass jaw.
Glass jaw. Yeah, that's my main glass jaw. Yeah. I think there's a bit of byplay between the networks at the moment. Which
was it? Who was more bone. Glass jaw? Was Pickers glass jaw or was Howie glass jaw?
No, it's a tongue-in-cheek back and forth that the Herald Sun have turned into a subscription.
I read Howie's words back yesterday because Jackie Epstein runs a tape over every radio station in Australia.
That's right.
Yeah. But reading them back, having listened to them on Friday, as always, the written word comes across differently than the spoken word.
His tongue was firmly in cheek having a laugh back at Pix's laugh.
In the conversation we had on Friday night. Yeah, it didn't necessarily reflect that way.
When you read it in the paper, it reads stingly. So
is there something there? Then all of a sudden, is there something deep down there between Pickers and?
No, there's not. But it's funny when it gets printed in the paper. It actually gets momentum of its own, and then everyone starts getting offended at the fact they weren't offended. And away you go. Hey, this is an early trend in the media wars. I'm not aiming this specifically at the TV newsers. I think it's broader than that. But in the quest to find a story, there's what I think is a fallback story that always exists that people fall into, which gets momentum and is an area that I think we need a moratorium on. Stop.
Good build up. I'm intrigued about where you're going to take this.
No more stories of this magnitude unless you can prove substance behind it. And that is this. X club is interested in Y player.
Oh, Hutchie, please. Your whole industry, your whole business is based on speculation about players moving.
X club is interested in Y player. And because we're in a competitive start to the year, we've seen the shiny new toy come and land a few.
These stories 30 years ago.
Shiny new toy came and landed a few punches. You've got the promo off going on. You've got everyone trying to out. And then you've got the newspapers going, oh, we can break a yarn once in a while. Here we are. So so now you've got this.
No, they can't.
A shock suitor has emerged for midfielder Clayton Oliver. Geelong's interested.
You know the other phrase that really does my head in? So clubs are circling.
Circling.
They're actually driving around. Yeah. They're going around in circles.
Geelong's interested. Yeah. Or all of a sudden everyone's interested in another player. Like, of course they're interested. Mm. If you rang Geelong and said, do you want to take Clayton Oliver and he's fully fit and healthy? Yeah, we're interested.
Yeah.
Everyone's interested in everybody.
Richmond's interested in Harley Reid. Of course they're interested in Harley Reid.
Those stories are getting mass oxygen early in the year.
Earlier
than ever.
Used to be basically after grand final. That's the historical line on these.
I'm not
things.
Saying I haven't done the interesting.
No,
stories
I've done
before.
It too, Hutchie. And I think we brought it forward to maybe June or maybe July.
But what they are.
But now it's just the ultimate, January.
They're the ultimate bailout when you haven't got a yarn. And they're the ultimate. That I always found news directors were suckers for them because they don't understand the machinations. Mm. They don't live in the industry.
They just see the name.
So what have we got? What have we got tonight? And you'd go, oh, I'm hearing Geelong's interested in Oliver. Oliver could be off the Cats. All of a sudden, in the afternoon press, hey, you know, old mate's got a story that Oliver could be off the cats, or that's going, or we might leave with that, and it gathers momentum in the business. I think this is the right barometer. If the player has met the club, that's about.
If you can establish that,
yeah,
there's a story
that's
there
a story.
Every day. That's a lead story every day. Yeah,
that's a story.
But the fourth recruiting guy or fourth in line recruiting guy at a club asking the fourth in line recruiting guy at the other club or
when's his contract
the deputy manager of the player, that's not a story.
When Wayne Carey returned to football in after he had the famous, I was fortunate enough to break the story of his potential return. And only because I had details of the four meetings that he'd had and the days he had them on. Like, you need an act.
I remember you doing that too, Hutchie, was when Chris Judd was shopping himself around. And you had him at Raheen, I think, from memory, with the Prats.
I got three of the four sets of pictures. I missed the Essendon pictures. I got the players coming out, but not him. But I had him.
You had him going into Raheen from memory, didn't you? I think he was going into Raheen, wasn't he, to see the Prats?
Yep. Oh, the funniest one on that one. Have we ever talked about this on the Sounding Board before?
I don't know.
The funniest one of that one was...
I know you did it.
Melbourne, of the meetings... Yeah, Carlton was Optus Oval initially, and they got the pitches there. I think got the Collingwood pitches.
But then you tailed him to the Raheem, I think.
Melbourne was the funniest one. So I'm sure I've told this on the Sounding Board before, but I'll tell it again. He's meeting Melbourne. Melbourne have decided to have the meeting at the MCG, and they're going to put the big...
Oh, you have told this, but tell it again. I love it. Yeah, you've told. Yeah, I know the story, but I love it. Yeah,
and you can't get cameras into the MCG.
No,
it's impossible.
You can't.
Unless you're very dubious or industrious. And one of the ways I used to get around it was they would let you shoot a piece to camera on the G if you asked
Well, you were 7 or 9 this year.
I was at 7.
So you had the rights, maybe, which gave you a bit more access than other people.
No, if you were at, say, Channel 10 and you contacted the MCG, at least in those days, you said, I want to do a piece to camera from a story tonight. They give you access for 15
minutes. Yeah, you can get that today even, but you can't just go in off the street.
So I'd often disguise... And often film an unneeded piece of camera merely to get in the venue. And on this particular day, I might have used that fake piece of camera. I've done a fake piece of camera on something that's never going to make the light of day. And as we're leaving, to the cameraman, Melbourne are going to be...
I think you've got your stories confused. Wasn't this the Sheedy?
No, it was Sheedy. I've got my
You have got confused. Your stories confused.
Might have been Essendon going to be here. Well, no, was Sheedy working?
No, tell us the story, though. Keep and leave that in, Geordie. This is good. He does get confused with his stories. He tells that many war stories, he gets them all mixed up.
I've got it confused.
Yeah, now leave this in, all right? Now leave this in. But it's still a good story. There's a good punchline. I'll work with you. It was Kevin Sheedy.
It was Melbourne's pursuit of Kevin
And
Sheedy.
You were in a lift. Didn't the lift open?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We went to the... I said, let's go to the goods lift and just try our luck.
Yeah.
We go to the lift and we open the lift and Sheedy's in the lift.
So what did you do then? Because you had a camera person. Roll.
How did I get that mixed up with Chris Judd? I did get into the G for Chris Judd as well, but
yeah.
I need to retire. I'm no, too old.
We had to put a ban on your war stories there for a while, but I like your war stories, but you do get them mixed up. And you just put a little layer of mayonnaise on it each time, which I like too, because you're a good storyteller.
Get a camera in somewhere you're not supposed to.
Hey, just on a serious footy topic.
I'll just ask the Sounding Board fraternity to keep an eye out. Interested is the hashtag.
Oh, Hutchie, no. We've been inundated. I don't want this.
Story of a journalist.
Hutchie, the Herald Sun wouldn't fill half its sports section.
No, we trade radio's not no different. I'm not just.
No,
I'm
but
not...
at least it's in trade, period.
Yep.
That is in trade, period.
I can't read another interested story. Someone's interested in someone.
No, I'm with you on that. Now, I want to talk about something we flagged for discussion last week, didn't get to. The 2025 situation from an AFL TV broadcasting perspective. For the first time, Fox Footy, will have access to every game. And what I'm saying there is with their own commentary team. They've got access to every game on a picture sense at the moment. They do 5 themselves, sometimes 6 themselves every week with their own team. On the 3 free-to-air...
They do a studio show around footy.
Well, that's true. They don't go to the games anymore.
They weren't there on Sunday, I noticed, the Port Adelaide West Coast game. They were back in studio.
Yeah. They made a big return on opening round. And they'll go to gather round because they need to get that walk mastered across the bridge again. So remember from the hotel area across to the Adelaide Oval?
I think what they would argue, and I would agree with.
I've got off track here, by the way.
Yeah.
But yeah.
That, when they are at the venue, they have an exceptional commentary team and do a very, very good job.
Oh, it's
and I think their pre and post from Macca Studios is very, very good too, by the way. I think they do a great job.
You know my views on it, Hutchie. If you're not at the game, I have it as a consumer, not even as a media person, as a consumer, I don't like it because I know they're not at the game. And they're just talking off what I can see anyway. And yes, they'll tell me they've got access to extra angles and yep. other cameras, and they're getting fed back from someone who was like, I don't care. Get off, go to the game. But so that's another matter.
They'll broadcast all 9 games next year, the first year they can.
And this is what I want to talk
about. It'll unlock opportunities for talent.
Because it's already started, the News Limited Foxtel arrangement. I mean, they're the same company, effectively, yep. for the purposes of this conversation anyway. They're already picking apart Channel 7's commentary in a way we haven't seen before.
Do you think so?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. As I'm talking, I'll go back to something that happened after opening round here. Now, I don't want to... James McKern had his name on this article.
I think that's overtly cynical, personally.
Look at this. We waited 160 days, but the footy is finally back, and with it came the return of one thing almost every AFL fan on social media agrees on, the annoyance of the commentators. Now, it's not the annoyance of the commentators across the board. It's just the annoyance of one networks. And I've got no dog in this fight, Hutchie, because I work for Channel 9, not Channel 7.
But unfortunately, you do have a dog because you don't give news. You're not fair-minded when it comes to news.
Well, is this fair? Is this fair coverage? This is the third paragraph of this article, which was lead item. The morning after the first game, Brian Taylor has long drawn widespread hatred from the football-loving masses for his work behind the microphone, and that trend continued on Thursday night. Widespread hatred? It's a really fairly elevated use of phrase.
Yeah, it is.
And then here, what, you want the evidence of the hatred? And this is how it was worded, okay? This is direct wording. Another user on X wrote, like not even an account, just another user, and you know my views on this. This is a burner. Because always the quotes they use, unattributed, are so beautifully summarising the issue. Honestly, I was not mentally prepared to suffer through BT's commentary again. It's going to be a long season. Like as if someone would write that.
Well.
And then again, another one on X added. How anyone that has watched footy before can stand any of his commentary is beyond me. It gets worse every year. They're not even attributed accounts.
So you're saying that you think they wrote that in a self-serving manner because they're getting ready for their own.
I reckon they wrote it before the game that was even played.
An unbelievable long boat.
Well, what are they doing? Well, Brian, I don't see them critique the Fox footy commentators.
Brian is one of those commentators where you either love him.
It's Channel 7, Hutchie, versus News Limited right now in this world.
Oh, I don't agree with that.
You actually do agree with it.
I think you're either a BT mega fan or you're not a fan.
It's not about BT. They did the same thing to Joel Selwood on after round one, the second weekend of matches. Yep. News Limited did the same thing to Joel Selwood. Rightly or wrongly, he's open to criticism, I get it, but they're not doing it to anyone on Foxtel. And I'm telling you, this is the build-up to what happens next year. When they get
watch us.
All access to the commentary.
You think this is the watch us?
Absolutely
campaign.
It is. Yeah. And you know what? That's just smart business, probably.
I think for whatever reason, coverage of media, broadcast, TV, it clicks, it works, it drives subscription. So
does Jackie Felgate.
Yeah, but once you're in the algorithm, there's not an easy way out until the subscription until the subscription run dries up. There's not. So it's...
Jackie's number... Is she number one?
Newspapers now are retailers. What sold off the shelves yesterday? How do I sell more of that product today? Hmm. And Jackie Felgate's example. I think Brian Taylor is an example of that. Brian Taylor elicits a strong reaction. So I'm a strong fan of Brian Taylor as a commentator.
I am too.
And might be slightly influenced by the fact I worked with him and got to admire him over a long period of time. But I am a strong fan.
Didn't speak to me for 18 months after something I said about him, but
If anything, I would like to see Seven let him and James be more themselves.
I would like to see the Triple M Brian on Channel 7.
But they get watered
down. That's the better Brian.
They get watered down or de-nicknamed or all those things. Mm. The Wow Wee gets to get put on the shelf and all that because they worry about this stuff. Mm. Whereas I don't think you can control this stuff. You just got to go, well, there's 70 or 80% that love you and 20...
If you use that phrase, widespread hatred?
Yeah, but it clicks because the anti-Brians go... Damn straight. I've been saying that for two. Like it's.
And you know what I've also.
Selling a retail product.
There's not one less viewer on who is actually whose voice and face is coming through the TV on a match broadcast. There's not one less viewer.
But to be fair to the Herald Sun, there is clearly a section of people who react to that who agree.
Well, I don't know. They just said an ex user, and you know my views.
Yeah, I don't.
An ex user, and another ex.
But this is not a news thing. All newspapers around the world are retailers. what sold off the shelves yesterday and how do I sell more of that same product today?
Yeah. I'm just going to quick recap. We did our show last week on a Monday afternoon. It was the public holiday week in Victoria. And I raised that because that night, Media Watch aired. You were the focus of it, but in a positive way.
I wasn't the focus of it.
Yeah, you were.
I was just like yeah. industry spokesman or something, wasn't I? Turn it up.
Because you got wind of us being on the program, Media Watch, and often that's in a negative connotation, but it was unusual, Hutchie. You were actually used as the expert in the space of basically cash for comment.
Yeah, I don't really think they quite understood the tongue-in-cheek nature of it. Our show is very tongue-in-cheek, Damon.
Well, we know it is, but some people, it's like we were saying before, when you read it back, we think we're tongue-in-cheek.
We do. Yeah. There we go. Are we nearly out of time?
Yeah, I think we are.
What did you think? Should we touch on Warren Treadray and the COVID vaccine legal battle with Nine?
Well, I just saw he lost his case. Is that right? So,
He's contemplating an appeal. But they argued it was performance. They doubled down on the defence.
Yeah.
Didn't they?
And then there's costs associated with that. That wouldn't be small.
No, it's significant. And just, we haven't seen a network really kind of dig in response like that before. It's a very complicated matter. Perhaps we don't get too far into it other than to acknowledge it. And we'll see what happens in the coming weeks.
All right.
That was a sounding board demo for DrinkWise. If you're choosing to drink, choose to drink wise.
Thanks for listening to the Sounding Board podcast with Hutchie and Damo. Tune in for questions tomorrow, and to send a question to the boys, email thesoundingboard@sen.com.au, follow the show on Twitter @soundingboardep, and like the Facebook page. It's all thanks to DrinkWise. If you're choosing to have a drink, choose to DrinkWise.